The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Roderick O'Gorman is Minister for Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth. He's in our Marconi House studio. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning, Jonathan. Happy New Year.
Many happy returns. I'll get to the announcement and the entitlements, the new entitlements under the National Childcare Scheme's new subsidy rates, which are good news for parents. And it's a great start to the year to hear about proper investment in youth care. But I want to talk about the asylum seeker situation. And I know there are six people due before the courts in Killarney, so we have to be very careful in what we say. But how worried were you when you heard those reports of a serious incident in Killarney at a centre where asylum seekers were being held?
You know, as you say, Jonathan, it was a serious incident. There were a number of arrests on Sunday evening, and there were further arrests yesterday evening. And a number of people are before the courts at the moment. IPAS has been in touch with and in close contact with the hotel management, with the local Gardaí, and I spoke to the Minister for Justice, Simon Harris, about the incident last night. You know, the ensuring the safety and security of the residents and indeed the staff of Hotel Killarney is an absolute priority. And, you know, in conjunction with an Garda Síochána, we'll be taking measures to ensure that in the immediate term.
The situation, we don't know the exact circumstance, but what we do know from anecdotal evidence is that it is difficult in a lot of the centres that are housing asylum seekers at the moment, particularly where there are hotels. There seems to be some perception that if you're from Ukraine, you're getting a better deal than you are if you're seeking asylum from other countries, and that isn't helping.
I think it's probably important that we don't really talk on anecdote about what happened in one particular incident. As I said, it is a serious incident. I think it's also important to say it's an isolated incident in the context of providing a accommodation to about 19,000 international protection applicants and 54,000 Ukrainian displaced persons. You know, we're facing the largest humanitarian challenge our country has ever witnessed, and by and large, we've been able to face that in a way where we've been able to provide shelter, provide safety to people fleeing to Ireland, and done so in a fair way.
Okay. I want to choose my language very carefully here, because I don't want to give any grist to the mill that is turning out there about the type of people who may be seeking asylum here. But how many male applicants are there out of that cohort of 19,000 or 54,000? And is it disproportionate? Because that's what some would like us to believe.
In terms of international protection applicants, I think, you know, you'd be talking maybe 55 to 60% would be single male applicants. That's not surprising in the context of people fleeing war. As you know, and I've made this point before, men are victims of war. Men are conscripted into armies. Men are victimized in terms of torture, in terms of political persecution around the world. So, and men are as entitled as women, or as indeed families, to seek international protection. So I think it's important that we, you know, we recall the process of the international protection is to provide safety for those fleeing war, fleeing
understandably,
persecution. Yeah.
Understandably so. But at the same time, it's also the responsibility of the Irish state to process those applications in a timely fashion. Mm-hmm. The reason we got into so much difficulty with direct provision is that the state stopped dealing with them in a timely fashion. Are we making the same mistake again? Or how quickly can we process those claims?
Well, I know Minister McEntee, in her time as Minister for Justice, has secured significant additional investment in terms of bringing in extra staff in the International Protection Office, in terms of improving the processes there, providing new IT support to ensure that we can undertake the assessment of people's claims in a more timely manner, and for those who meet the standard to be able to grant them international protection.
But define what a timely manner means, and I note how you deferred to Minister McEntee. I know that you're rather burdened in your department with a lot of the problems that other departments don't want, but you're going to have to keep minding these people until such time as we deal with it. What is a timely manner?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we know in the last number of years, people were waiting waiting 4, 5, 6 years, absolutely unacceptable time periods. I know the International Protection Office were looking to bring it, you know, below a year, down to 9 months. I can't tell you, I just don't have the figures offhand today in terms of where they
is
are, let's say, by
is,
the
is,
end of the year.
Is it close to 9 months? I mean, are we doing it in under a year? It's kind of important considering you have to budget for the fact that these people need to be accommodated mm-hmm. if the state isn't doing what it needs to do.
Absolutely. I know at the start of 2022, significant progress was being made in terms of reducing the time being taken. But I think it's also, you know, the fact that we have had significant numbers of increases in applicants has also continued to put pressure on the system. Mm. But I think it's also worth noting, you know, that the increased number of applicants we're seeing here in Ireland is reflected across Europe. And that's okay. as a result of, you know, wars, conflict, the impact of climate change and the like. And of course, the impact of the war in Ukraine has had a wider effect on migration routes across
Europe. It is reflective, Minister, but we are getting a higher level than other European countries proportionately. And that's people choosing to come here. Is that perhaps a reflection of how Ireland is viewed and how Ireland is doing economically, that more are coming here proportionately than other countries?
Well, I think more are coming proportionately compared to some countries, but not others. I know, you know, I was speaking to colleagues from Austria there just before Christmas, and they're seeing extremely high numbers of international protection applicants. So the experience of increased applications is one that's reflected across European countries. I've always been very clear: international protection process has to be for those who are fleeing war, fleeing conflict, okay. for those who wish to migrate for other reasons. And let's be clear, it's legitimate for people to wish to migrate for other reasons, but they have to use appropriate processes such as employment visas and the like.
Yes, but the state has to also do its part to make sure that those who are here are genuine and those who can work should be able to work legitimately. Can I just put a final point to you before we move on to childcare? Are you throwing your hat at getting rid of direct provision now? Because what we have done is we have supercharged direct provision through the hotel accommodation system and the emergency accommodation system, while necessary, is just direct provision with a fancier title. Are we accepting that the state only knows one way to deal with an influx of people coming into the country, and that is to put them in a location where they are fed and housed and the state bears the cost?
As you know, I brought forward a white paper in terms of addressing direct provision, both in terms of accommodation, in terms of integration and wider supports for those in the process. Undoubtedly, the dual impacts of the war in Ukraine and the very significant increases in the number of applicants has put real pressure on the accommodation system, and that's what we're witnessing at the moment. But I think we have been able to advance other elements of the white paper, particularly in terms of the integration supports for people here. So over the course of this year, we'll be providing integration officers in every local authority in the country.
But we were closing direct provision. We were getting rid of the direct provision system. Is that now gone?
I think the objective of having all direct provision closed by the end of 2024 is extremely difficult to achieve in light of the dual impacts of the war. Look, I think it's very difficult to achieve. What we are looking to do early this year is bring forward an implementation plan in terms of what key steps can we deliver in 2023 and 2024, particularly focusing on the delivery of more state-owned, state-provided accommodation where we can have, I suppose, real control in terms of the standards being provided.
I want to talk about childcare because there are changes that are coming in. It's a reduction in costs that families should benefit from. What amounts are we talking?
Yeah, so from today, families all over the country will be seeing substantial cuts in their childcare costs. On the average, that's going to be a 25% cut, and that follows on from investment I secured in Budget 23. And this is being done through the National Childcare Scheme, the NCS. This is the subsidy that right now 98,000 children across the country get towards their childcare fees. And we're increasing that subsidy by 90 cents per hour up to €1.40 per hour. And that's going to, as I say, benefit families all over the country, whether they're using maybe the full allocation of 45 hours of childcare per week or fewer hours. And I think it's a recognition that the cost of childcare has real impacts on families all over the country. And, you know, within the Green Party and indeed across government, we recognise that. And it's a really important cost of living measure that families will benefit from today.
Yeah. How much of this is going to be just absorbed, though, by the costs of those private care providers who are dealing with exponential cost increases in terms of staff and cost of living, electricity? It's a bit in a bucket, isn't it?
For the first time, none of it is going to be absorbed by that. Parents are going to get the full benefit of this cut in childcare costs, because last year, in exchange for the very substantial extra investment I gave to providers in core funding, they had to sign a fee freeze agreement. So childcare providers won't be raising their fees at the same time that these extra subsidies are coming in. So parents will be able to experience the full benefit of these childcare cost cuts.
Okay. Unless they ask for their children to be kept on, they have to pay privately afterwards, but that might arguably be a choice. But lots of people are getting in contact this morning, Minister, to say that they don't have children in the ECHI scheme, that their childminder, here's a text message, we employ a childminder in our home and get absolutely no subsidies. Why can't the Minister simply increase child benefit and let parents choose instead of more funding for for-profit childcare? We don't want our children in a creche setting.
It's absolutely vital that we bring childminders into the process, and that's what I'm working on at the moment. We have our childminding action plan. Childminders, as you know, it's a flexible approach to childcare that many families use. We want to ensure that childminders are properly regulated. It can't be the same type as of regulation as we use for centre-based childcare. So we're in the process of developing, I suppose, bespoke regulations for childminders that they'll be able to sign up to, and once they sign up to them, the parents who use childminders will also be able to benefit from the increase in the NCS and also see reduction in their costs.
Sharon on Twitter says, ask the minister why he ignored ECHI preschool services in his new funding model and is now forcing them to close. More services closing than opening, places are declining. No point in reducing cost to parents if they can't get places.
I haven't ignored ECHI's services. Last year, ECHI services would have received around €14 million of investment. Under the new core funding model that I've introduced, they'll receive €27 million in investment. So almost a doubling. Some ECHI providers have raised concerns about the sustainability, particularly for smaller services. I've listened to that, and that's why I've commissioned in the first quarter of this year an independent financial review of the operating model for these small services. And if it reveals that there are particular risks, particular vulnerability for that sector, we can look to address that in terms of the additional core funding money that I've secured for the second year of core funding. ECHI services are an important part of the model, and we want to support all services, be they large or be they small.
Is the model, though, not fundamentally flawed? It's a great system, and trust me, I've benefited from this. I know exactly what it means to have this type of childcare provided. But the state is saying, we'll provide the money that will go towards provision of this service. But it still falls to private providers to provide that service and to be happy with the funding that is made available. Ultimately, are we just not heading towards a system where the state is just going to provide places in state settings such as preschools, state-run preschools? And can we not just bite the bullet and deal with that, as opposed to fiddling around with a system that doesn't seem to work for a lot of people?
Well, I've secured this year alone an increase of €346 million investment. That's the biggest increase in childcare investment we've ever seen in the history of the state. So I kind of take issue with your term of fiddling around the edges. We are providing substantial increased public investment.
But it's not the state provision of preschool services, which is probably what we should be doing.
But we're also increasing the level of state management as well. And I think that's what's really important, and that's what's different this time, because we now have this requirement for a fee freeze. So that very marketized approach that we've seen over the last decade, where every time the state stepped up with extra subsidies, they were immediately absorbed by fee increases. That's not happening this time around, because one of the requirements.
they're closing because they can't afford to stay open. Therefore, the like investment when there is no places isn't real investment.
Well, in 2022, we saw the lowest number of closures of services that we'd seen over the previous number of years. So the number of services closing each year is reducing. The number of new services opening is increasing. And I think it's really important that we state that. And that is before we've seen the impact of the first full year of core funding.
All right, Minister Roderick O'Gorman, pleasure as always. Thank you very much for joining us. Minister for Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.